All right. Welcome, 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 everyone, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between. This is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so, a friend of mine recently reached out to me and asked about the current inflation issues that we're having. And I thought, you know, I was kind of curious about it myself. I hadn't really looked into it in great detail. So I thought to not only satisfy my own curiosity, but to help alleviate the worries of my good friend, I thought I would go out and make an episode on the current inflation issues that we're having at the moment, and seeing that in the context of really the economy, the U.S. economy, and the global economy on the whole. And so first, I think it's important to establish where the U.S. sits right now in terms of the economic world. We're actually in a pretty good spot, all things considered. By virtue of the 2020 CARES Act, the bipartisan financial aid package, and the American Rescue Plan passed earlier this year, the U.S. is in a pretty strong economic spot. Unemployment is very low. It's at 4.6% at the moment, and it will creep back down to 3.5%, it's expected to, by the end of the year, which is pre-pandemic kind of unemployment numbers. And a lot of this is being staked at, you know, a return in jobs as people return back to somewhat normal lives after the pandemic, and a lot of the stimulus spending and money that the United States government put into its own people so that they'll have more money to spend in the economy. And this is just sort of broadly falls under the sort of Keynesian economic model, or more demand side economics. And this was done during the Great Depression as a way to alleviate a lot of the unemployment and poverty that was happening during the 1930s. And this was done basically to the philosophy generally is that if you give people money, they will spend it. And they will put it into the economy. And just think, for example, even in your own personal life, you know, if you have $20 to spend on a night out, you will spend the $20. And if you have 30, well, you'll probably spend the 30 as well. But you're spending that on different things. Maybe, you know, multiple events, maybe dessert at a restaurant, something like that. If you have the extra money, odds are you're going to spend it. And that generates growth in the economy. So that's the general, very oversimplified version of the Keynesian economic model, and that's what we're seeing right now through the Biden administration and into the previous stretches of the Trump administration. And so on top of that, we're seeing like a quarterly GDP growth, which is 5 to 6%, which is pretty, 4 to 5%, which is pretty significant, especially when you consider other countries like the UK that are on the decline. Their GDPs are shrinking and not even growing at all. And so it's rather encouraging. And so among this, you have people being able to spend money, you have people having money left over to save and spend money, put it into the economy, you have jobs, people going back to work. The only issue is that the supply chain hasn't caught up yet. And that's really where a lot of this inflation is coming from. People have the money, people have the means to buy things again, and they have the ability to, the desire to. You know, typically during the pandemic, you didn't really need to buy a whole lot other than, during the really rough stage of the pandemic, you know, you just needed like sweatpants and things like that. You didn't necessarily need a lot of other things outside of things that you would use at home. But now, you know, you have the desire for consumers to buy a large variety of goods. But the problem is that the supply chains are not providing those goods in the same numbers that they were prior to the pandemic. And that's where the inflation, like I said, is coming from. And if you look at one of the most basic economic models, I'm sure all of you have heard of it at this point, it's just the supply and demand curve. You know, as supply increases, then demand would decrease past a certain point, and that sort of thing. And so, and in this case, since the supply has gone down, but the demand has still stayed high, the market equilibrium price has gone up to match that demand. And so that's why things are more expensive. right now. That's why gas is more expensive. That's why clothes, all that sort of thing is very expensive. I believe the inflation rate, I want to say, let me take a look here, make sure I have this number right. Yeah, so it's at 6.2% inflation on consumer prices, which is pretty significant. U.S. government usually accounts for a 2% inflation rate on consumer prices, which is the annual annual projected rate. So this is more than three times that, and that's concerning. But a lot of this, like I said, comes from these supply chain problems. And where do the supply chain problems come from? Well, that mostly is caused by this massive backlog from factories in other countries being shut down, reopening partially or not at all. You know, it's just, say, for example, Apple needs a particular metal to make their iPhones. If they can't get a hold of that metal because it's in some country that has a factory or a mining operation that hasn't opened up again or has slowly opened up, that backlog is from that excessive demand that we're seeing in the U.S. is going to cause the prices to go up because they just cannot produce the iPhones in the same number because they don't have access to that particular metal. And so that's the issue that we're running into right now with that. The solution, President Biden the administration has worked to open the port of L.A. for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's a start. It's more of a Band-Aid solution in my eyes because really the issue is on these supply chains. And once that's sorted, once factories are open and running again at full capacity and they can catch up with the backlog of orders and things over the last year and a half, that's when these prices are going to go down. Now, the only problem is that that's going to be a long time between now and then. And depending on a global response to the pandemic, which is still ravaging many parts of the world, this could take even longer. And so that's why, as I just indicated, there's going to have to be a global response to the pandemic. And that's going to be making vaccines available in developing countries, making it available in countries like in Vietnam and African nations, so that they're able to, as far as the economics are concerned, are able to produce things and produce the materials that a lot of other multinational firms are able to produce and make. And so once you have that online, then this inflation business will be more or less resolved. But in order of getting that global piece together, you do need vaccinations. As I said, vaccinations across the board. And that means not only making them available, but firms like Pfizer and Moderna releasing the ingredients, the secret formula, if you will, to these vaccines, releasing them to the public so that other firms can generate them and to make their own versions that are easily replicable in their native countries. And so that really, to me, is going to be the best way to get this disease under control. I don't think COVID's going away anytime soon, but we can certainly do our best to keep it under wraps and to keep it beaten down or at least controlled to a certain extent. And the only way to do that, as far as we can tell at this point, is through mass vaccination. So that means that these countries themselves and firms in these countries are going to have to be able to produce their own vaccines because we cannot just rely on Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and other vaccine companies or medical companies who they themselves have their own limited production capabilities. We just can't rely on them to get these vaccinations out. So to me, this is really a call for these large firms to release the ingredients list, to show these other firms around the world how to make their vaccines. And I know that you run into an issue of proprietary information, and these firms really being hurt financially in the long run by doing this. But in order to get the world back online, we have to have people vaccinated. And it's just going to be better off for all of us in the long run. I think governments can do a lot to subsidize Pfizer and Moderna. Again, you're not going to be able to cover those losses completely, but you can pay them some sort of royalty fee or something along those lines. I don't even know exactly, but I do feel that governments can help try and cover the loss at least a little bit. I believe that would go a long way here. But at the end of the day, the U.S. has been able to bounce back from the pandemic in a way that not many other countries have. And a lot of that has to do with our ability to get these vaccines into people's arms. And good, strong economic policy on top of that. And in order for the whole world to get back online, we have to replicate those measures overseas.